Welcome to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is IBM Java Health Center, an overview and usage. Today's presenter is Kevin Grigorenko. Kevin is a software engineer on the WebSphere Application Server SWAT team, which provides worldwide on-site and remote supplemental product defect support, particularly in critical customer support situations. He focuses on problem determination for WebSphere Application Server and related stack products and operating systems, including the IBM and Oracle JVMs, AIX, Linux, Solaris, Windows, DOS, HP, and System I. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kevin.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Slide two, please. So it's basically going to be split up into two parts. The first part is going to be about what is it, how do you use it, you know, parameters. And it's going to be a little bit boring at first, but I think when you're going to be running something in production or in critical situations, you want to know a lot of the knobs. So I'll go over a lot of the options and ways to run it. And then the second half is going to be various screenshots and going through each aspect of Health Center and how to analyze it, tips and tricks, things like that. Slide three, please. So what is it? What am I talking about here? This is the IBM Java Health Center, and it is a low overhead monitoring tool. I'll talk about the advertised low overhead in the next slide. It does a lot of things. I'm going to focus most on profiling, but it also does analysis of garbage collection, file I.O., lock analysis, so monitor contention, and some other things, native memory as well. The tool is fully supported by the IBM Java Tools team, so you can, if you have a bug or something's wrong, you can open a PMR. I've included a few links here for the documentation and how to download it. And for those that have worked on Hotspot or JRocket, this is similar to Visual VM and Mission Control, and I'll talk about some of the differences as well. And it runs on most of the IBM operating systems, and both 32 and 64-bit. Slide four, please. So why would you want to use this? Primarily, it's good for high CPU and monitor contention or just generally performance issues. It's not a full monitoring product, so this is not a replacement for ITCAM or Wiley. But one of the reasons you may use it, even if you do have a monitoring product, is that you know, like Visual VM or Mission Control, the value add is that it can know the internals. Since it is written by the Java team itself, they know how to get certain data that can't really be gotten through other methods. So that's one of the reasons why it might be valuable in certain situations. So the advertised cost is that it can gather all this data, particularly profiling and monitor contention data with less than 1 or 2% overhead. Slide five, please. So there are two aspects to Health Center. One is the agent that actually gathers the data, and then there's a client which visualizes the data. So the agent is just a normal native library, and it must be enabled to actually gather the data, so by default it's off. And usually this is enabled by a generic JVM argument. I'll talk a lot more about this in the next few slides. And in recent versions of both the JVM and of Health Center, you can actually enable it dynamically using late attach. I'll also cover that. And then there are two modes. One is to connect to Health Center through a socket where you actually have the client connected and it's getting live data back. This is a great way to monitor a single JVM in live. And then the second mode, which I'll focus on, is headless mode. And this is, I think, what most production environments are going to be more likely to use. And this mode is more like other diagnostics where, you know, you enable it, and then it'll write to files in the local file system of the app server. And then you download those files and then open them in the client. The client is a Eclipse-based GUI client, and it comes in IBM Support Assistant. And again, it covers those two modes of loading the data. Slide 6, please. So because this is within IBM Java, it actually ships with Java and therefore ships with WAS, so you probably already have it, unless you're running a 1.4.2 or something older. The performance of Health Center, however, is impacted by the version of Java that you're running and also the version of the agent you're running. So even if you're running on a production-capable, as far as performance for Health Center, it has enough to support production performance, that Java version that it ships with that is fast enough may not have the newest agent. So it'll ship with whatever agent that release shipped with, but you may still want to update the agent to get even better performance or functionality. Slide 7, please. So this covers just a simple grid of which, and particularly the third column is, I think, what most will be interested in. This is the minimum release of Java, WAS and Java, that would be required for production-ready use of this profiler, of this tool, sorry. FixPack 27 on 6.1, on WAS 7, FixPack 5, and then it's, later versions it's already baked in. And I'll cover some of the other aspects that are available in future versions, particularly visualizing native memory and a breakdown of native memory. Slide 8, please. So if, like I mentioned, you may want to know which version of the agent you're running to see if you need to upgrade it, even if you have a new version of Java. So to figure that out, you can just run -X Health Center with a version option on Java, and that'll tell you the agent. Or if you need to, you can also extract the version from one of the jars, the Health Center jars that's in the Java directory. Slide 9, please. So if you want to upgrade the agent, then I've included the link here for how to download the latest agent for each platform and Bitness. And you can also get to this link through ISA help. And the Bitness of the agent should match the Bitness of the JVM, not the OS, just like any other native library. So, for example, if you're running a 32-bit JVM on a 64-bit OS, you'll obviously still want the 32-bit agent. Slide 10, please. Updating the agent, some customers are a little bit wary of updating files in their Java runtime. And just to note that these files have no impact on the rest of the Java runtime. These files are never loaded unless you actually enable Health Center. You're not updating anything in the Java runtime itself, only the Health Center libraries that are shipped with Java. This is similar to if you updated the samples or the documentation in the Java directory. Nevertheless, you might still want to just back up the files in case there's a problem and you need to revert. I should also mention that if you update the agent to get, the latest functionality or the best performance, and then you update the Java runtime with the next fix pack, that will overwrite your updates. So this, hopefully you don't need to do this, but if you do, just a few notes there. And the basic procedure is pretty simple. For non-ZOS, for ZOS, you can see the documentation. But for distributed OSs, you just basically upload the zip and extract in the Java directory and make sure the files are shown properly. And I've included a few details in case you have problems doing that. Slide 11, please. So there are three modes of enabling the agent. The first is the default mode, which is the socket mode. And this is just if you restart with -X Health Center. And this opens up port 1972 by default or the first available port up to 100 more above that. You can control the port. I'll cover that later. And it has various options of how you communicate the data and various security options. I won't cover all those. There's a link there to the various authentication and SSL options. And there's also a pseudo late attach mode. This is kind of an older option, which I'll just mention it, is that you can start it with level equals off, and then when the first client connects, it'll essentially start. Then the second way to enable the agent is headless mode. This is with it's pretty much the same, but you pass level equals headless. And I'll cover a lot more options on that later. And then late attach can be used in either of the two modes. You can late attach into either socket mode or headless mode, and that will dynamically enable without restarting the JVM. So there is also a log file created in the temp directory called healthcenter.pid.log, and that will just list if there are any problems or, you know, if you're doing the socket mode, the port that it's listening on, things like that. And the agent will use some native memory, particularly in socket mode, since it has to buffer that for any potential clients. But it's not a lot, and this is one of the things I'll cover later, which is that socket mode does have some limits internally so that you don't get overloaded, and so it will actually discard some data, which is another reason to use headless mode. Slide 12, please. So now I'll quickly cover the dynamically adding this. And so the late attach API was recently introduced. These are the versions of Java where it has been shipped, and on Java 6, it starts to become enabled by default. So on non-ZOS platforms, starting in WAS 7.0.0.7. And if, for example, you're on Java 5 and you want to enable this for the future in case you ever need to enable Health Center or whatever else late attached dynamically, I've included the option there to enable that. Slide 13, please. So if a late attach is enabled, then it's pretty easy. You can just go into the ext folder of Java. You can first list all the available JVMs. This is actually no different than listing the PIDs in any other way, but that would confirm that late attach is available for those JVMs. Then once you've got the PID, you pass ID equals PID, and then you pass all the options. So in this case, I'm passing level equals headless, so I'm enabling headless mode. Now, there is no way to disable Health Center once you've enabled it. Slide 14, please. Socket mode is, obviously, it's very nice as far as it gives you live view of the system. Everything updates every 30 seconds or so. You know, you see the verbose garbage collection. You see the profiling data live. So it's very nice. However, there are obviously some problems. Primarily, it involves, you know, making sure there's a network path to that port, which is difficult for production systems, firewalls and other things like that, even with security. In general, it just kind of involves other teams. You know, it leaves the realm of WAS administrators, and it goes to network and security. So that's one major issue. There are some technical issues as well. So, for example, if you connect once, you'll get everything since the start of the collection. But then if you disconnect and another client connects, then they'll only get, you know, anything since the disconnection. Like I mentioned, the buffers are limited, so you might see a large rate of discard, and that's obviously not good. However, it's a great way to approximate something. Especially in a development or test environment, this is a great method. You can export the HCD file, which is the same thing you would get in headless mode. But, you know, let's say you've connected live, then you want to send it to a colleague or to IBM support. You can do file save data. Also, the Health Center client, when it's connected through socket mode, has the capability to trigger various dumps, so Java cores, heap dumps, and system dumps. And just to note that a lot of customers have tried and had issues, and recently we kind of figured out that it needs another firewall hole for a particular port, which is dynamically assigned, and so you would need to explicitly assign this IIOP port and then open the port in your firewall. Slide 15, please. So headless mode, I'll spend the next few slides on this. This is my preferred mode because it's just more of a classic approach as far as gathering diagnostics. And it's pretty straightforward. It writes these HCD files to a directory. You can specify the directory with this output.directory. By default, it goes to the WASP profile directory, just like Java cores and heap dumps and system dumps. Slide 16, please. So you might see that these are the files that are written to the profiles directory. You've got the environment source, which has various environment information. You've got the locking information and various memory information. And then you've got the actual mapping to the methods that it's capturing. And then the trace subscriber file, that'll be the largest file that you'll see. This has the profiling data. When the JVM stops, the agent then zips up those files into the HCD file. So the HCD file is just a zip or jar. So if for whatever reason the JVM doesn't stop gracefully, you can just manually zip or jar those files. And the compression is very good on those files. Slide 17, please. So just to kind of assuage some potential concerns, I was quite honestly surprised. The first time I ran this in a very, very large production system, there's a problem, performance problem, and, I mean, massive. And I was, you know, I obviously had read all the, and I've tested it, but to actually see it work, it's pretty cool. I mean, I've used JInsight and all kinds of tracing profilers and, you know, even monitoring products are great, but the way that it's able to capture this data and the low overhead way it can do it is really just incredibly useful. So I've seen these agent files, even the largest I've seen, are it can create a few gigabytes per hour, but this is usually it's probably around, 50, 100 megs per hour. So obviously it's a function of how much work is being done. Recent versions of the agent allow you to roll over files. So you can say, I want 5 historical files, each of 250 megabytes, and then it'll, you know, discard the oldest one after 5, and then you can not worry about, you know, if you're producing a lot of data, then you don't have to worry about losing your file system. Slide 18, please. When you're using the rollover, the agent will put underscore and then a number before the HCD extension. And the recommendation is to not use more than 2 gigabytes for each HCD file. Then if your agent does not support headless mode, that's the exception you'll get. So in that case, you'll just need to update your agent. This is the legal argument exception. Slide 19, please. So the volume of data is going to be a function of a lot of variables. There's no formula. There's going to be how deep the stacks are, how many concurrent threads, how many CPUs, the average number of methods per request. So there's really no way to calculate it beforehand. What I recommend is just to run this in an equivalent stress test environment with equivalent load or roughly similar load, and then just approximate based on what it produces in that. Slide 20, please. All right, so the client is available in IBM Support Assistant, and you can also extend it through an existing Eclipse or RAD installation using the IBM Support Assistant update site. Slide 21, please. Once you've got an HCD file, it must have a .zip or .hcd extension. And when you first load the client, it might pop up a dialog asking you to connect. Actually, it will pop up a dialog asking you to connect to live socket mode JVM. So you just click cancel on that, and then you do file load data. Slide 22, please. So in each of the views, and I'll show some screenshots of this, there's a timeline, and the timeline shows the full timeline of the data captured, and you can zoom in and out on that timeline and all the data will, rearrange to that context. So this is great for comparing performance in two different times of a run. The times are specified in relative terms from the start of the collection, and I'll cover how you can figure out the time when that actually started. Slide 23, please. So to figure out the exact time when it started, you would load the HCD file, and then do file export JVM trace, then save that to a .trc file. Then you would run the trace formatter on that TRC file, and this is available in your IBM JVM. And in the resulting .fmt file, just search for first trace point, and this will be in UTC, the time when the tracing started. And normally it's important when you're doing trace formatting to use the same JVM that produced it, but in this case you don't care because you just want the timestamps. You don't want the actual trace data. Slide 24, please. This is the first view you'll get when in either the client, the socket mode or the headless mode. And this is one of the kind of better features of Health Center than Visual VM or Mission Control. It has a very good way of summarizing what's happening in your JVM at a very high level, but not too high level that it's actually not useful. So it'll actually tell you from each perspective as far as garbage collection, profiling, locking, how it's doing, first of all, kind of a signal as far as green, yellow, red, and then it'll also highlight the major analysis. So, for example, in this case, in the profiling, second from the bottom, it highlights that you've got a method that's consuming 22% of your CPU, which is obviously concerning. So it's a great way, and you might not even, if, for example, a few times I've done profiling, but then it highlighted things in other aspects of the data gathered that I wouldn't have immediately thought to look for. Slide 25, please. All right, so the main kind of useful feature of Health Center is the profiling view. Now, just at a high level, the profiling data collected is based on a sampling profiler. It samples at a very, very high resolution. And what it shows you here is it'll show you the methods and it shows the number of samples, which is the number of times that method was sampled at the top of the stack running on a CPU. And then it'll show you self and tree. Self is the time, the percent of the Java CPU that was spent executing in this method. So this is, now one key thing to remember is that when this shows, for example, this first method is 48.7% in self. That's 48.7% of the Java CPU used. So if this is why it's critical to gather operating system CPU data on that process that's in parallel with Health Center. So, if, for example, you gathered it and actually from an OS point of view, Java was only using 5% of the CPU, then, this might still be something that's hot from that relatively, but it's actually not that much. So it's critical to understand how much actual CPU Java used, and this is a percentage of that. Then tree is how much, what percent of the time of the CPU used was this method in somewhere in the stack. So obviously you would start with self percent, and this is the default sorting mode in this view, and then I'll also cover some heuristics on looking at tree. Slide 26, please. So in this case, it's pretty obvious that this java.math.mutable big integer divide one word is using almost 50% of the CPU time out of Java. One other thing I should mention here is that this is looking only at CPU usage by the Java process. So if, for example, your process is waiting on external resources, I/O or database, network, etc., this will not show up in this profiling data. when you sort by tree percent, it becomes difficult because the WAS stacks are very large. So there's going to be a lot of methods that look very similar. They have similar tree percentages, but I'll go over some heuristics in the next slides. Slide 27, please. Once you found a method that you want to investigate, so in this case, this 50% method, you select the row, and then there are a few views underneath. Invocation paths is what called this method. So essentially, you're going up the stack. Each row will show a percentage of the above row's percentage that it was calling it. So here we could also see pretty immediately that this mutable big integer divide one word, if we kind of expand down who was calling it, it immediately comes up that this do complicated stuff method was calling it. That itself we can see is the second row. So a lot of times when you have a hotspot, you'll have groupings of methods. Slide 28, please. These percentages are not cumulative. So if, for example, in this case, I've got some regular expression profiling data. And if we start off at the top, pattern branch.match, that's the method we're looking at. And we see that it's called by, it recursively called by itself. And first it's called 73.8% of the time is called, that second row is calling the first row. I haven't included the other 26%. And then the third row is calling the second row 73% of the time. So if you wanted to figure out, let's say, how much of the CPU time was spent in the third row, you would multiply up the chain. So you'd multiply, you know, those percentages, since they're not cumulative, and including the percent, if you wanted the, as an overall CPU usage, you'd also multiply by the percentage of the first row, which is in the profiling view, not in this view. Slide 29, please. You may often see, not often, this has been mostly fixed in the most recent JVM versions and agent versions, but you may see methods without a name. It's just a hexadecimal address. And it's especially annoying when, you know, you've got great data, it shows the hotspot, and there's no method name. So in this case, there are a few things. First of all, you'll probably want to make sure you're upgraded to the latest version of Java and the latest version of the agent. But there are some techniques to essentially infer what it was. So in this case, we knew that this method at the top was really hot, but, you know, we didn't, first of all, we just wanted to know. We didn't want to have to upgrade Java and restart. So what you can do is you can look at the context around it and usually infer what's going on. So in this case, we're looking at the invocation path, who called this method, and we can pretty quickly see that this is security and LTPA. So even though we may not know the exact method name at the bottom, this was enough to tell us that there was some old algorithm being used that was using a lot of CPU. The other way you could do this is if you grab a system dump at the time that this method was gathered, or pretty much any time during the run, then if this happens, you can use DTFJ, you can use memory analyzer tool or dump analyzer to essentially figure out which method this is using the dump, using the address. Slide 30, please. Now, I mentioned tree percent is a bit of an art more than a science. Here's my recommendation on how to look at it. What I do is I sort by tree percent descending, and usually that'll come up with the, you know, essentially the starting points, the threads, since everything is running in a thread. And so you select that row. In this case, we can see 99.7% of the CPU had the thread pool worker.run method running in it, which makes total sense. Then you select the called methods view. And this will show, obviously, a breakdown of and again, percentage-wise, of that 99.7%, what was used, you know, going down the stack or going up the stack? And it's a little bit cumbersome, but you would essentially just expand all of the large percentage rows until you get to a point where it starts to bifurcate or go into multiple tree paths. And this is, first of all, a great way to tell overall what your CPU is doing. So from a high level, every time I've tried this, I was able to quickly tell that, you know, for example, 50% was spent processing JMS, the other 50% was spent processing servlets. Then you can start breaking down, you know, of the servlets, this particular servlet was 25%. This is particularly useful if you open up a profiling run and, you know, you've got a few hot methods at the top, maybe a couple percent, but nothing obvious. This is generally what you'll have to do instead, is you'll have to look at from a high level, from, going down from the top as far as what's using the CPU. Slide 31, please. The garbage collection view will show, just like garbage collection and memory visualizer, things like the full tenure collection, system.gc calls. And what's nice is actually, if you see a lot of system.gc calls, this is one method of finding who's calling them. You can actually just filter the profiling view and then look at the invocation path to see who's calling it. So just to emphasize, this is a statistical profiler, not a tracing profiler. So it's not looking at method entry and exit times. It's very, very, at a very high rate of high resolution, looking at what's on the CPU, sampling all of the CPUs and threads. But I found that in most cases, especially given the fact of how low head this data can be gathered, it's usually, I actually can't remember the last time when this took us on a totally wild goose chase. Sampling at a high resolution is usually enough to understand your CPU usage. One odd thing you may see is that the JIT is iterative. So the JIT may decide, first it might compile some Java method into native code, and then later on this method keeps getting executed, the JIT may do further optimizations. So this may include things like inlining methods into other native methods. So you may actually see, if you're monitoring either in live mode or even in headless mode, where over time the profile can slightly change, where the one method is hot at one point and then it kind of drops away and another method becomes hot. Usually this is because that method that dropped away became inlined. And so when it becomes inlined, it's no longer really a method. It's just part of the parent function. So all of its CPU cycles become accounted for in the parent functions. So, it's not lost, but it's just kind of, it may be a bit confusing at first, but you just have to find that. Slide 32, please. If you've got a really hot method and you want to understand exact timings of that method, not just sampling, but actual timing, what you do is you select that method, right-click, generate method trace parameters, that copies it to the clipboard. I've included an example here, and this is what you'll get. Then you would then restart the JVM with those parameters, gather data again, and on slide 33, you'll see what you get, and you'll actually, for that method trace data, you'll be able to see a lot of statistics on how many times it was executed, and various statistics on how long it took, and some of the threads that called it. Slide 34, please. There's a low mode in Health Center which disables profiling. So this is useful if you wanted to use some of the other data collection of Health Center, which I'll cover in the next few slides, without even the 1% or 2% overhead. So this is a particular, I've used this, for example, when tracking native memory leaks, because this is a great way to track those. And, you know, even when a customer just doesn't want that 1% or 2% overhead, this is a good way to do it. And I won't cover the second bullet, but if you're interested, this is how you can combine headless with level low, since you can't set that on the command line. But there's a way to do that. Slide 35, please. So I won't cover all this. This is some profiling theory. As far as I've mentioned a few times, the difference between sampling and tracing profilers. And, you know, at a high level, it's basically the fact that there are two different techniques. And the problem with tracing profilers is that because they have to look at method entry and exit, that means that they have to either get some kind of callback from the JVM or they have to do bytecode instrumentation. Those both have huge overhead. And so, you know, there are a lot of techniques. You first might try to find a general area where things are slow, then you would only, you know, profile those areas. And there are some wonderful profiling tools, you know, JNSight and others, that are really great at this and give you exact details. But they will also cover, the biggest difference really is that tracing profilers cover elapsed time. So you would see things like going to a database. However, that also kind of adds some complication because you might see a method that it took a while, elapsed time, but that doesn't tell you whether it was using CPU or not. And so you might spend time optimizing a method which was stuck on paging or you know, making a network call that, you know, for example, DNS lookup that you wouldn't even think could be slow, and, you know, for whatever reason it is, and then you're chasing this method and what's in it instead of chasing the real problem. So even though sampling in Health Center doesn't show those kind of external waiters, it is more accurate in that sense for CPU, for understanding CPU usage. So there are trade-offs, and there are cases where you may still want to use a tracing profiler. Slide 36, please. One other feature in a recent version of the agent is that you can track large allocations, and this is pretty straightforward. You just pass your thresholds, and then it'll show up in the garbage collection data. Slide 37, please. Now, probably my second favorite feature of Health Center is locking tracking. So the tooling around locking analysis has been, quite honestly, pretty poor, and this is just a wonderful advancement in that area. So Health Center will track monitor contention, and it'll print the actual monitors that are being contended on, what percent of the profiling time were they contended for, and various other statistics I'll cover. Slide 38, please. So some of the things you'll see are gets. So this is just the number of times it's been acquired, a lock, while it was inflated. And inflation is the process by which a contended lock is acquired. There's slow, which is the number of times that it tried to get the lock and somebody else had it. Percent miss is just the ratio of these. So percent miss is a great place to start. It shows that some monitor has basically frequent contention, and so that's usually something you'd want to look into. I mean, obviously, you want to look at the absolute counts as well, because if some monitor was just acquired a few times, you don't really care if it was contended on. Some other things, recursive, not usually useful. The percent util is, as I mentioned, the time that it was held over the actual total time of the tracing data. So if you see a lock that has a high percent miss, you'll probably want to look at, you know, how long is it held on average. So that might, for example, tell you that your lock is too coarse. You want to make it more granular. Slide 39, please. The height of the bars in that chart I showed, that shows the slow lock count. So that's a good way to just get a high-level feel of, in absolute terms, what monitors are being contended on a lot. The color is based on the percent miss, so you can have a lot of slow, but they don't miss a lot, so it's not as bad. And by default, it's showing just the Java level monitors. You can also see the JVM internal monitors. So if you're really stuck and you don't see what's kind of holding things up, you might want to check that out. Obviously, if you see a problem there, you'll want to open a PMR. And Health Center is very smart. If it will actually subtract the time if you've got a lock or a thread has a lock and a GC runs on that thread, then it will remove the time of that GC from that the statistics. 540, please. So this is what you'll see in the view. This is the lock name. It gives you the class and the address. And to get the, so let's say in this case we've got a JavaLang object. That's not very helpful, you know, who owns it, because, you know, it's just somebody created an object to use as a lock. So anybody could have done that. So you would need a system dump. Then once you've loaded that system dump in something like a memory analyzer tool, you can look up that address. And from there, you can essentially figure out who owns it. Slide 41, please. Garbage collection is also gathered. So this is essentially GCMV inside Health Center. And this is a great. It's nice that everything is kind of gathered together. So, you know, you see, you know, you can correlate things. You can see what impact things had. So in this case, obviously, we see pause times and used heap. And then, you know, as always, you'd want to look at the proportion of time spent in GC in the bottom there. Slide 42, please. The environment view just shows basic things like configuration, you know, parameters, environment, variables. It'll show the agent version in the bottom left there. So that's another way to tell the agent. Slide 43, please. Classes view will show when classes were loaded. Not much more to that. Slide 44, please. Similarly, the files I open, IO files open, that shows when files are open. It'll actually list the actual full opened. This is nice if you have some kind of file leak and then you get, you know, you add a memory for socket descriptors. Slide 45, please. Native memory, this is just a wonderful new addition. This, first of all, it's been there since the beginning in Health Center. The top left view there, you can see just basic virtual and physical memory usage. So this is a good cross-platform way to track native memory leaks. However, it's pretty high level, you know, just from an OS point of view. Slide 46, please. Now, in more recent versions of Java, and I think this starts in 6.2.6, so WAS 8, and, you know, recent versions of the agent, you can actually break that down from what the JVM knows about. So it's not magical. It can't, you know, figure out every native allocation. You know, you need to actually use OS tools for that and glib tools, things like that. But from what it knows, which, you know, often is useful for things like application class loader leaks, things like that, this will break down everything the JVM knows about. So JNI, you know, classes, JIT, even things like direct byte buffers, et cetera. Slide 47, please. The threads view will show basically some of the number of threads and then some of the monitor information. Slide 48, please. So these are the few links if you want help outside the PMR process. The Java tool email is very responsive, and the forum works as well. Slide 49, please. So I've covered a lot here. Now, this is a summary of what I would recommend to, you know, essentially to use Health Center in production. So the first bullet is, if you've got the version is less than 2, so usually 1.3, then I highly recommend that you upgrade the agent. First of all, you'll get things like the rollover capability. You'll get a lot of other features and updates to what data is collected. Unfortunately, you do need to stop and start the JVM and update the files. If you're running WAS greater than 7007 on a non-Z platform, that means you've got late attach enabled by default. So if you wanted to and you had a recent agent version, then you can just dynamically enable Health Center if you wanted to. Otherwise, in the third bullet, this is what I would start off with as far as gathering Health Center data. So you pass the level headless and then 256 megs, 8 files, just kind of randomly put that there. And then you definitely want to get some type of OS CPU data that correlates with Health Center. You could use the performance must gather and extend that time frame. You could just use simple OS scripts or other monitoring. I like Wait, which is available from IBM Research, which also takes Java cores, but, that's not much of an overhead. You could remove that from the script if you wanted to, but that gathers a lot of great data and visualizes it very well. And then finally, once you're ready with all that, you just reproduce the problem, stop the JVMs completely, then, gather all the data, and it's useful to get the temp Health Center log just in case there are problems, and then you've got everything. Slide 50, please. So to summarize, IBM Java Health Center is very powerful in finding performance and CPU issues, and the key is that it has a very, very low overhead, less than 1 or 2% agent. And it's recommended in starting in 6.10.27 or 7.05. And in general, I recommend using the headless mode in production, but certainly you can use the socket mode. If you use the socket mode, there's a view when you first load it says how much data has been discarded. You want to make sure that that's a low percentage. Slide 51, please. So these are a few additional Webster product resources to check out. And slide 52, please.
Thank you, Kevin, for a great presentation. And finally, don't forget to connect with us. Be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe to get a list of mailing lists and to subscribe. Also, if there's a topic you'd like to see us schedule, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know via that same email address. You can also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this point, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
I'll just answer a few of the questions in the chat. Instead of typing, the I/O files open only works on real files. It doesn't report sockets. Any JVM stability in socket mode? Well, first of all, one of the great things about Health Center is that it is supported. So if you're having any kind of problems, I would definitely open a PMR. I personally don't use the socket mode much, so I have used it a few times. I haven't seen any problems, but there certainly could be some. So I would first, open a PMR if you want to figure out socket mode, or try headless and see if that works for you. Does the Health Center need separate licensing? No, it's part of Java. It's free. It's just comes shipped and available. How does it differ from enabling tracing? In general, it's just much low overhead. Tracing occurs at, a little bit of a higher level, even though it's still within JVM or, within WAS. It's got a lot more things that it has to do as far as, locking and things that can be done more efficiently within the JVM. So, yeah, tracing certainly is useful for many problems, and Health Center doesn't solve all the problems that tracing can solve as well. But if you're looking for CPU data, I think tracing would not be the way to go. Maybe an interaction with the app. I wouldn't expect any interaction with the app if the app, as it was mentioned earlier, if there are other JVMTI or other native agents that may cause an interaction, although I haven't seen any. But as far as just a Java application, this all occurs below Java, so it shouldn't affect. I mean, it will affect the, you know, 1 or 2%, whatever the overhead is. In that sense, it will affect it. But functionally or in any other way like that, it would not affect it. And also, I'd mention that if you have feedback, that Java tool at uk.ibm.com, that's a great place to send, you know, ideas for Health Center or things like that. Should it require to restart all JVMs, or can it be done for a single JVM? Well, Java works at a profile level. So if you've got multiple JVMs this has an even easier answer. So Health Center is only enabled when you use the argument to enable it, -X Health Center or late attach. So if you have multiple JVMs in the same profile or in a cluster, you can enable it only on the JVMs you want to using that argument. Can we open heap dump through Health Center? No, you did use some. I mean, it can trigger the heap dump, and then it'll be produced on the JVM's file system, but then you would use something like Memory Analyzer tool. How can I disable the agent? The agent cannot be disabled dynamically, so the only way to disable it is to stop the JVM and restart it without the -X Health Center parameter. Can you speak at all to the ISO 5 beta that also has Health Center WAR? Yes, so this is the client. So this is just an updated version of the client. So it's another way to run the client. And the WAR has a Java Web Start launcher, which launches the Java GUI client. So this that doesn't have much to do with the agent that you would be running with. Is there a manual document on how to use in detailed steps? Well, if you have a particular question, you could either ask that here or send me an email. I'm not sure what you mean. I added a few links at the, I think on the third slide, which show the Information Center for Health Center. So it goes over all the various steps of documentation. Yeah, no, I'll just emphasize lastly that if anybody has any questions, go ahead and just send me an email, and I'll do my best to answer them.
We do have a question over the phone. Would you like to take that?
Sure.
Okay, from Basaraj Patil, your line is open.
Percentage of the memory footprint on particular JVM?
Yes. So you mean native memory?
Yes.
So first of all, Java memory, there's a little bit of usage. I mean, a few megs probably, but even probably kilobytes. I haven't measured it, but it's just there's a simple jar that gets loaded. That just does the late attach and a few other things. So Java memory, there's almost zero. As far as native, there are some internal rolling buffers. So in general, we say about no more than 50 megabytes. Also in general, if you're running headless mode, it's going to be less.
Okay. If this comes with a WebSphere lightweight, which is introduced recently, like a web server, we can hook it up with a Clips ID?
If it's running IBM Java, any product that runs on top of IBM Java will support Health Center.
Okay. Yep, that's it. Thank you.
Sure, thanks.
And we had no further questions over the phone.
Thanks for everyone's time.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Kevin, for your presentation.
Thanks. Bye.